like to welcome you and your colleagues from PETA and of course the other colleagues from UNDP. We welcome you all to this engagement. Comrades, welcome back from the long weekend. I do think Commissioner Namke, this is not being our first meeting, but our third meeting, there is no need for introduction. We more or less know each other. So we can proceed straight away. I still do want to make a request, comrades, please let people from the level so that they don't disturb our. Commissioner, I'm sure you will recall that we were supposed to have had this engagement sometime before Parliament was elected. But we reached an agreement that maybe let's have it sometime later. And that sometime later is today. I must say that I felt aggrieved.
Yeah. Really perfect.
No.
This thing for years now. All of a sudden, when this thing comes up, and then.
Not the small one, you know, 2 million, 1 million.
I lose a month.
I tell
you, come back. I'm going to put
a little
bit of money. Yeah. I'm going to put a little bit of money. I'm going to put a little bit of money. I'm going to put a little bit of money. I'm going to put a little bit of money. I'm going to put a little bit of money. I'm going to put a little bit supply of put a proof pair of 50,000.
Logic. And for us here, it really exacerbates the necessity of this meeting. And it's urgent. That's why we didn't want to cloud it with other issues. You recall in our last meeting, we asked you to send us the information about certain contracts. We send that, we have it, but we said, you know what, we don't want to cloud this issue. We want it dealt with independent of everything so that we can have excess peace of mind. That the criminal justice system is not captured. Because other thing capture is capture is capture by anybody and everybody. So we're asking ourselves, what is it? So I think, and that is why today we're not going to, my honorable comrade here, Tim, is not going to start by asking questions. We want to give you an opportunity to talk to us and tell us exactly what is the state of affairs. And if your explanation is clear, well, good and fine. We'll leave and have an empty. We have so much work to do in our office. But if there are grey areas, then, well, I'm sure that comrades may still want some bit of clarity here today. But we're giving you the opportunity to clarify issues for us.
All in the hands of the commission. So, say I have many questions. I hope you're not closing down my scope today.
No, not at all. I'm just saying that you may find that the commissioner answered all your questions in his presentation. I'm saying if he does, you will find. If he doesn't, well, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. And if you have your teaching aid, you can use them to assist the process of engagement. All right, commissioner, let me hand over to you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. Yeah. Chair, I would like to first start with the letter. Firstly, we did receive the letter from the committee on the 20th. And that letter was taken to a process, and we received a feedback from council on the 27th, and we then compiled this letter on the 27th in the afternoon. I signed it in the morning of the 28th, and we sent it through our administration here in Cape Town to be forwarded to the committee before we start. By the time we appeared, we were under the impression that the letter has already been forwarded, and we learned later that it wasn't yet with the committee, hence it was submitted in the afternoon. We admit it was our own fault, and it was not intentional, and we apologize for it. The way it was done.
Right.
Thank you. And then, Chair, we have a presentation. I'm going to give a brief overview from my side as the accounting officer, but we also have a bit of a detailed presentation. If need be, the presentation can be given. I then wanted to start with maybe three indications which are then based also on a request. The first one is that to date the development between ourselves and the affected service provider, they have actually triggered the process and compelled us to take a court route, to follow a court route. So some of the matters that we will be talking to could therefore be certificate. We will give as much information as we can, but we just request the committee to allow us to protect certain information for court purposes. But then I would explain. The second one, it's what the chair has already related to. The manner in which the contractual process was handled, the administration thereof, it actually created national security risk, and which has been my point as the accounting officer, and I wanted that to be liberated from the current process, because SAFS as an organization has carries the national security risk for the country. And the way the service provider has been interpreting the contracts, which include the perusal of the contract thereof, is a legal matter. We have tasked a legal process to deal with that. But my direction has been that the sovereignty of the state cannot be ceded through contracts, and hence has to be liberated. Now, as we also relate on national security matters, there's certain information that relates to national security that we cannot necessarily disclose much in the public domain. But I'm just bringing the principle. Then the last one of the three is that as we left the committee, we went back, and I also indicated to the committee before we left that from my own perspective, I actually commissioned an internal audit process because I wanted us to get more information. Then after I've escalated it to a forensic investigation, there's also new investigation development that took place, and some of them, they need to be protected. So we will also appeal then to the committee that while we will be giving all the information, but that we protect certain information that may jeopardize the investigation. Just moving forward from this, immediately after we arrive back, I have assembled what I call the multidisciplinary investigation task team. The reason being that as we were coming here, we were different stakeholders, and we had different approaches, we had different information, but we also had different information needs. Now, forming part and parcel of the multidisciplinary, that is very chain, was ourselves as subs, and then the treasury. Treasury have got their own inquiries and their own investigations onto the same matters. Then it's IT. And we have VITA as part of us. Then we also have the forensic audit investigators from both subs and as well as from Treasury. I then decided I'm leading this value chain. And I therefore change. Firstly, it is sitting every week on Wednesday since we left, except Wednesdays where it was not visible for us to meet. It could be one or two. My first direction or directive was we're no longer going to write each other letters, request information, or talk to this. We all sit together, we share the information on the spot, and I make decisions on the spot as accounting officer. And what I just forgot to mention, as part of the value chain, there's detective services, a team, and then there's also DBCRs who are part and parcel of this particular value chain. The content of the letter from the committee, it was just based on recommendations which were made by the committee, and we were asked whether we considered them. Then there were two issues surrounding it. One was service delivery, which we wanted to continue so that it doesn't impact negatively on the community. Two, it was national security threat, so the two had to be addressed simultaneously. From my side, I had to clear the national security side while we also protect that the service delivered. Now, as a result of the two, but mainly the national security threat, was wanted to engage so that we set the organization free from the national security threat, and then contract does not lead us to that. Then, in our first meeting of the multidisciplinary value chain, as we shared information, then there's certain contracts that are under investigation, that we discovered that are under investigation from the different angles, I think by both IP as well as Treasury. As a result of this particular information, we decided then to keep on with the holding of payments. So we did not continue with their payments because we wanted these matters to be cleared and to be resolved. Then, while we were continuing with the holding of payments until these matters are resolved, SDA sent letters of demand. And one of the letters of demand included an information note which they sent to the minister that's bringing to the attention of the minister about this decision and the implications which could relate there to. Then on the 5th of April, the NFDA decided to switch off the system. And immediately after they switched off, we assembled an urgent subs and CETA meeting together with the other stakeholders of the region. And as we came together, we then assembled an integrated legal team, which is constitute CETA and subs legal team. We directed that let them scrutinize these contracts because our first challenge was if we have a service provider that will decide at any given time they want to switch off and that impacts negatively on services to the public. It was a matter that could have happened at that particular time, but the question would have been what would be the future? And as a result, as we ordered the legal team to produce the contract did not 100% confirm the conduct of the supply. And we then decided to take the matter to court. And the legal team worked on the court route because our view was the service provider wouldn't be allowed to switch off the system. And therefore we wanted that conduct to be tested that is in court. But further to that, staff as an organization, the nature of an organization, staff is. If we enter into a contract that relates to a software, that software would rather be owned by staff in the process of the contract. Because we've got a lot of information of national security nature that we need to protect. Now, if it's in the hands of a service provider, then it means the service provider can share this information as they want, and which then becomes a threat, that is to the state. And we've been using an example of this because I was involved in the RTMC process as head of protection and security, because that was a national key point. I think that the service provider decided to lock RTMC out of their own information. But now what was becoming a national security threat was the fact that you've got addresses there of the president, the ministers, and everyone, and that it in itself poses a national security threat. So that's how we wanted to deal with this matter. I am therefore not going to say much on the court process. The legal people would explain, but it's in progress until the court pronounces. Immediately after the switch off, we came and in our coming together with CETA, we decided on a contingency plan. And I have instructed one of the deputy national commissioners to lead the contingency plan. And the CEO of CETA also instructed a process, so we had one team. What I would then say up front, the contingency plan was a temporary measure, but it wasn't giving us 100% of what we were actually obtaining through the system. We were switched off for 3 days. After 3 days, CETA also scrutinizing the contract, they decided to switch on two of the main systems, which I think is PCAM and FPS. And there's only one system that remained off. But CETA would also add, because the third system that was switched off was paid upfront, so the service provider did not even have the right to switch it off. Then, after the system was switched off, the services all went back to normal. And we were able then to service the community as usual and normal. So that switch back on was done at the time till to date. the system, those systems are still on. But the service provider is still challenging it in court. And the medical team will lead that particular process in court. But then, as an accounting officer, I also then made a decision to say, if we lose the court case, we will pay the license for the duration of the period that is remaining. And anyway, the main contract is PCAM and it expires in June. It is. So while we're looking at an arrangement that will not put the faith in a risk that is positioned and face it out. One of such arrangements in our discussion with the CEO of CETA was that CETA could provide a capacity that will help us to continue with the running of the software. And we also work together on a plan of facing the current arrangement that is out. The same, if we win the case, the same could more or less be obvious because the service provider may decide to pull out. But our direction moving forward from here, we're moving towards getting a system that will protect the sovereignty of the state. And I have also instructed the process within the organization itself, because one of the root causes from a root cause analysis that we've conducted was the absence of a contract management strategy for the organization, which I instructed immediately. I think now it's above 95%, and it is intended to be implemented this year. The second one was the risk management, the enterprise risk management strategy. We had it, but it was only focusing on operational risks. And most of what is happening around this exercise are strategic risks. So that particular strategy has also been reviewed, redesigned, essentially completed. I got an indication it was supposed to be presented to me, I think it's last week, if not last of last week. So it will be implemented before the end of May. The third and the last, what came out of root cause analysis was the resource management strategy. And within the resource management strategy, it was the resource metrics, because the certain of the products that were overstocked, or some of them were obtained before we could have a platform to use them. And your resource metrics would have guided you to say, if you want a car, get a driver first. It's just a part of it. So all three of them has been instructed. Then on the part of the investigation, one of the critical questions that was raised by the committee, there was a lot of interest in the last day payment of the financial year. I think the forensic investigators and internal audit, they went deeper into it. What I think I can say about it is that there's a case docket opened pertaining to it. It has pushed us that far. So it's other investigation. And there's few other investigations, I'm sure, which emanated from that particular process. They are part of the investigations that we request that we also need to protect them a bit. There's full information that talks to criminal investigations, departmental investigations, and financial investigations. But we're all reporting and sharing this particular information every Wednesday. And up to this far, all the parties are working together, or they have been working together. And I am giving instructions on the spot and make decisions that required to be taken, that is on the spot, until we're finally disposed of this particular issue and set maybe the organization free. I'm shocked to this far. This is how far I can go with my grief from an accounting officer's position. There is detailed information in the other presentation. If the chair directs, we should proceed to that in the other presentation. We can, but suffice to give this position. Thank you, Chair.
I think let's use this presentation as a reference point, because I think he has, by and large, spoken to the issues that are of concern. I can just check with the two of your colleagues from CETA if there's anything they would like to add to what you said.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, members and Minister. Nothing much to confirm what the Special Commissioner said about the event in and around the 4th of April and then the 5th, and that subsequent weekend until the morning of the 9th, when on the 4th we saw the notice of termination. MTM was in the media and nothing was addressed to us. And the evening of the 4th, then or the midnight, the systems were switched on. And then by the 6th, or the 7th in particular, I ended up putting my note here to the committee. In consultation with the legal team, I authorized that the systems be used, the picker one in particular. Then I've taken the FPS being switched off by ourselves, switched on by ourselves. Prior to that, we had cleared out access by the known personnel from FDA from accessing any of the systems from the network all the way to our location. So the switch on was done by the CETA personnel in consultation with them. And this we were on in the very early morning of the night, so in the remains of MPS and PK.
All right. Thank you very much. Commissioner?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, it's just two little things. The one is we have been copied by FED in the letter that they have written. And I think both myself and the CETA CEO, we have agreed to refer the letter from that to the legal team so that it's processed through along those lines. Just the last one, a declassification of information, because the two information that we're talking about, all information is shared centrally within the value chain. But information that relates to the Secret Service Act and Strategic Intelligence Act does not form part and parcel of the value chain. And previously, the committee also directed that we need to deal with that within the relevant legislation. And I would therefore like then to make a request that if there's any matter that talks to the two legislations, that I request that I for the address the chair that is about them because of the legislation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a minute. You say? Okay. That is there anything you would like to add to what the Commissioner and the CEO of CETA said in relation to this issue?
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members, honourable minister. I can confirm what has been said by both the National Commissioner and the CEO of CETA in relation to the contract that were in this meeting and the fact that we're waiting together in that regard.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. Chair, you're quite right in saying that our focus in SCOPA is public service. And our focus primarily is the execution of the Public Finance Management Act as various other pieces of legislation. So I would like to refer you to a document received from yourselves on the 19th of March. It is a PowerPoint document, I heard, where you go through all the contracts. Now, in our first two hearings, Commissioner, you remember that we covered the Rofin supplies. And then we had to get into all these IT contracts that came to a head in early April. Now, if I refer you, I don't know if you have this, but it was sent to this committee, so my colleague should have it on computer, whatever. but on page, the problem that I have is that if you go to page 11 of this particular presentation, page 11 deals with the FPS contract, the five-prong firearm permit system. Page 12 deals with PCAM version 1.1. Page 3 deals with a renewed version of PCAM 1.1. 14 refers to another renewed version of PCAM version 1.1. Page 15 refers to maintenance of PCAM version 1.1. Now, we have asked you, now all of those contracts, the common factor of all of those was that they were sole supplier. And in the first two hearings, we asked specifically, give us reasons why. Now, on page 11, I just want to quickly encapsulate this and then we can go further. On page 11, you advise us that you wrote to National Treasury, this is on the FPS contract, okay, that was issued as a sole supplier, that you wrote to Treasury and Treasury responded back. But we don't have that copy of the agenda from Treasury. We have a highlighted link in the presentation, but when you click on it, it doesn't come up. All right? On the others, and remember this all amounts to over close to 2 billion rand worth of maintenance. On the others, we have no reference as to a National Treasury deviation. So we've got to get to the bottom of, and I don't know, Commissioner, if you're the right person to answer this question, but we've got to get to the bottom of the process that was followed in terms of awarding first FPS, secondly PCAM version 1.1, then another version of PCAM 1.1, then another version of PCAM 1.1, and then maintenance of PCAM. We're not even talking about all the roof and stuff and the light sources and all that. We're just talking about these ones here, which amounted to a massive amount of money, all on sole supplier, all to FDA and Unisys. What are you doing about getting into the actual nitty-gritty? I appreciate your report, but your report doesn't tell us why there was sole supplier and who was responsible for them being sole supplier. Was it Mr. Barney Fenter, as was admitted in previous hearings? Did we just accept your recommendations? Can you respond to that just to start?
Yes, thanks,
Honourable
Chair. I think, firstly, I have instructed my legal team to scrutinize all these contracts, including how we entered into them and why did we have, especially the maintenance contracts.
So thank you very much for that, but we saw you in February, now in May. When did you appoint this legal team, and how long do they need to actually get to the bottom of the fact that these sole supplier contracts were issued because of bribes paid to Commissioner Mashlani? How long do they need to get to that point of that fact?
Okay. Can I suggest I give the legal team to respond directly at the forensic investigation failure? Because we got into this particular matter. It's very diverse, but a report to this effect is going to be given to me, and is a subject of this value chain investigation. There's part of the information we can share, but there's part of the information that we want to share after the whole report is completed. But as we speak, it's given full attention, and we've worked on it. It's a lot of progress.
Are you able to give us a timeline by when we will receive a report on the matter?
With the permission of the chair, can I afford them the opportunity to respond at the end? I'll give the time to relate to you.
Maybe let's talk to the timeline. Again, I think that is, for me, that is what is substantive. If we have the timeline, then we could have any follow-up questions.
Okay, good. Let me ask for the next 30 days by the end of May.
I'm entirely happy with that. The point is there just needs to be a timeline, and I just get concerned when the national commissioner says, I've referred it somewhere. You know, we need to have that accountability that it's been referred somewhere and something's going to happen by a certain time. Okay, now, all of these contracts, Commissioner, related to your TMS department, and the head of your TMS department is in the chair. Now, can you tell us, do you know what Operation Kulisa is? Or Project Kulisa?
TMS is here. I would like them to be afforded the opportunity to explain the detail of the project.
I'm asking you, do you know what Project Kulisa is?
Let me say, I know, but I can't talk to the details now.
No, it's fine. I think what they wanted from you is say, yes, I know what the project is. Then you can then follow up.
Chair, thank you. I'm speaking to the accounting officer, so I don't want to speak to your other persons. Are you aware of the payments that were paid into a bank account linked to Project Kulisa?
Yes, they are part of the investigation, Chair, and the forensic audit.
I have information that Project Kulisa relates to the building of Major General Chesi's house. Can you confirm that or not?
Chair, can I confirm that there's an investigation against the officer mentioned, and IP has given me a report, and I've commissioned an internal investigation. This confirms my awareness, but there's going to be a full detailed report that's going to disclose up to the investigation. Thank you.
All right, Chair. This information is out there, so I think it's clear that the committee must point it out. The project is in relation to the building project of Major General Shesi's house. It involves, the investigation so far involves multiple payments into the bank account, which is believed to be the contractor's bank account. Now, what is significant about this, Commissioner, I'd like to make a comment, is that there are three payments from a company called Nsiga Distribution. Nsiga Distribution is owned by a gentleman called Jeremy Bayard. Do you remember who he is? If you can't remember, I can refresh your memory. He's the gentleman in our now famous photograph at Manchester United. That gentleman there. Do you remember him now? Jeremy Bale. He's up from Unisys. Now, Unisys received large contracts, didn't they? From SAP.
Can you show the picture of the gentleman?
Sure. I can show the picture. I'm sure they're familiar with it by now. Just to remind you, Jeremy Bayard. Okay, so Jeremy Bayard made a payment of three payments totaling 700 odd thousand rand into the bank account of the contractors for the Major General Shesi's house. Okay? Are you concerned, Commissioner, that Bayard was with Unisys. Unisys has been admitted paid for this trip, the trip to Manchester United. And also now, it appears that this was peanuts. Are we talking about the big money was paid in Spanish General Shazi's account? Are you very concerned about the link to that and the contracts awarded by TMS to Unisys?
Okay, let me start by saying extremely concerned, and I was also more concerned when I received a report from IP 10. I initiated action immediately. But then, Chair, there's also a request I want to make. The Honourable Member relayed to matters which are content of the investigation. And to us as staff, these are matters which are a subject of investigation. We cannot relate as much as we does, but I want to confirm it has been a matter of extreme concern, and we have, or as an accounting officer, decided to take action immediately I receive the report from IT. But I cannot disclose the details because they are still subject of investigation. Thank you.
I fully appreciate that. I mean, I come from that background and I understand that it's very important. I'm just trying to get a sense that the National Commissioner is extremely concerned. I'm sure the Minister is also extremely concerned about the state of affairs. And that there will be some action taken. That this will not be allowed just to fade away. Commissioner, would you agree that these revelations that have come out. And look, the information I'm referring to is in the media, it's in the public sphere, you know. Would you say that they confirm the concerns about the contracts between Unisys, FDA, between SAPS and CETA? They confirm that there was an improper relationship, as I've referred to in previous hearings in terms of actual legislation as well. The Regime of Corrupt Activities Act specifically defines what an improper relationship is. Would you confirm that this certainly points in that direction as a seasoned police officer?
Yeah, I think certainly from the beginning, as I said, I brought the different stakeholders together because this was a dot-to-dot connection approach. And as the dots were connecting, then I eventually confirmed the concerns of the committee. Let me just say the committee was correct to be worried. And the committee was correct to ask certain questions. Therefore, as an organization, as an accounting officer, I then have an obligation to clear the organization out of this by taking the relevant action. And from a civil police officer, yes, of consent. Thank you.
Commissioner, now, Commissioner, early in April, the threats came, the long-standing threat, because I think that Mr. Keating wrote a letter to everybody. And I'm glad that he finally wrote a letter about me, too. And she wrote a letter to my party leader, complaining about my conduct, which was good. I'll certainly frame it, and I thank Mr. Keating for that. It means I'm doing my job. But he made various threats. It seems to me that he made the threat to cut off the system, which, as we know, was very concerning, that the proprietary rights of these systems still sat with him. But then CETA were able to turn it back on. Does that confirm in your mind that it actually was a false threat? But in actual fact, this wolf doesn't really have many teeth.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I did not count the teeth, but what I can say is, firstly, no one can threaten staff to Adam Speed the National Court, because staff is an organization with integrity and that carries the internal security of the state. Therefore, we would not get shaken. But at the same time, I mean, evidence-driven person. That's why I immediately came together with the CETA CEO, and we said, let's look at the contracts, whether are they morally correct to do what they've done. Now, when we look at the contrast, we have a reason to challenge this matter in court, and we are very optimistic. But this obviously needs to be corrected, but we do not obviously succumb to the threat, and we do not then think that a service provider of that nature would then threaten us. So we still protect the sovereignty of the state. Thank you.
I'm getting towards the end of my...
The minister has indicated he's supposed to go to a meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. He's about to leave. I just wanted to check if there's something you'd want to comment on in a minute or two before you leave, so that we can then proceed. Just a minute.
I agree with you. Just one question, if the minister is leaving. Just to ask the minister if he was copied on a letter that CETA wrote to us. Doesn't have a date. The letter that CETA wrote to Gordia, I don't see the minister copied on it. If not, I think the minister must see this letter. So that's all. Before the minister left, I just think, minister, you must look at this letter that CETA wrote. I'm not sure why they haven't copied you on it, but if you guys could make a copy available to the minister. Thanks, Shane.
All right. Ross, you're the other.
Listen, thank you, Minister, for supporting the opportunity of a grave accusation towards SAPS. Actually, by IPET that mentioned, and you'll recall, Jefferson, when we visited the Institute for Risk Management in Johannesburg, that corruption was cited as the biggest risk for our democracy. And IPET then confirmed it in a newspaper clipping that corruption in the SAPS, in South African Police Service, is the biggest risk to our democracy. And those are very grave, has a grave implication. I would like to have the minister to respond. Thank you.
Yes,
Minister.
Chair, my apology. I came a little bit late. I was with the Inspector General of Intelligence in the morning. Now I'm attending. Which means in that world there are things to be under control. Everybody would know that is one way that we have been really struggling to put things together. Well, I did not get to the, I don't know why, maybe Sita would know better why, as you suggest. What is corrupt? I would simply say yes. We, for the fact that last month we arrested 17 of our own at the coup, that tells you that they can't be so many at the coup. So it's a problem somewhere. Besides the four that you have arrested in Mpumalanga, with the shooting that took place at the rank in Durban about 3 or 4 days, we arrested one of ours who was part of the gang that attacked the rank. I think two of us were sentenced to 20 years each in Mpumalanga goes to catch us. But maybe making some points, corruption is across the board. When it comes to government matters. 3 weeks again, jointly with the Minister of Home Affairs, we announced the arrest of quite several officials of Home Affairs, quite several officials of correctional services who are bypassing the former prisoners, all the systems in South Africa, release them and send them home without the records and all that. So across the government, it's a big issue that we're trying to work on. Maybe police have the lack of being on the face of the media in the world, but also with big numbers of people. The question is that I can't sit here and deny that there is a problem. Definitely we do have a problem. sometimes it will be on the level that you don't expect the problem. Surely there is a known guy called KGB. He's very popular. Everybody almost knows him. But also, we find some elements within the Gypsy Hawks themselves that you think these elements should not be here and all. Across the board. So I think working with the commissioner, but one shortfall that has been there, covered chair, has been the vacant top positions on these subdivisions. Your detectives have not been there for some time, but most notable, your criminal intelligence, who else will you be able to? Which other division of Schassenbrunn? PSS, yeah. We have just employed divisional head, PSS, crime intelligence, and detectives. We hope that will help us because people have been acting, especially crime intelligence. We have about 6 to 7 years kind of acting. So, but we have permanent people. We hope that will be the beginning of the development. Back to your question, I confirm positive. That is the problem. We just wish to get more energy off this mechanism.
I've given you so many comments on the proceeding. Don't be backtracked by the question. But if you're fine, that's it.
So I would love the minister to talk about IT.
Well, I hope I'm not sidetracked again. The process that is one, I personally hate to be blackmailed and to be held in some form of ransom. Is one thing, but even on social, personal matters, I don't want to be blackmailed. But I discover here that it was a bit of that, if it is not a lot of it. The undermining of the authority of the state should be fought, and with all the energy you have sending back. It looks like it's got a history, this significant question that have been asked by the honorable member there. How we were put in a cage as a state? Because you said we're in a cage. Somebody wants us to sing when you feel like your parrot that we put here and gives you the kind of music that it gives to you to sing. For now, it could not have happened without us collaborating on the matter. Clearly. And I'm glad that those people have been begun to be identified. Unfortunately, from the high level, a very high level, it gives you a bittersweet kind of case. But while it happens, but you say to yourself, if it happens to this level, how are we going to deal with it? But we will have we'll know that Metro Generals are big issues. That level is because you're just one notch up to an accounting officer. It's a very high level. So if it happens there, but the response chair would be that we find it there, we try to act, I hope we'll be able to clean the system going down. By the way, not without resistance and manipulations of the system going forward. So we'll help ourselves to seek a good assistance, but also put all the energy that we put. As I'm saying, is a bittersweet because if you have to investigate the deputy director general, it tells you that you don't have too many soldiers on your side to deal with the matter. But I am briefed. I understand the matter. It has been brought to my attention. I received the letter from the supplier, I think DSA, and I requested that the legal advice respond to it in terms of maybe for the first time. I should be in the corner, Advocate Kamal, who will deal with my legal matters in my office. Because most of these things are very legal. Can think we have answers and they come, so we throw them to the people that know that. I hope we are on course, and as you were asking, speed is also responsible, because as we try to respond, the system is eating from within. So the longer you take, the system must be further eating, so it's important that you do this. I don't know what I must answer about IPED, but I think IPED head and IPED people, I've met them more than any other entity within the South African police. I think we have met most. I think since one took the job, I always call it a temporary job, because by the time we leave this story, might be not another announcement might have been made. So, but since I came, I think I've met them three or four times. So I find our working quite okay. We're working well up to this point. I've met the head executive, and I've met I think top management, including people that are sitting here. So I think our working relationship is quite fine with the IPED.
Thank you very much, Commissioner will continue to take questions.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. I understand the disruption. Thanks. And I thank the Commissioner for his, the Minister for his commitment to getting to the root of the problem. I'm almost done, National Commissioner. Are you familiar with, March seems to be a very busy month. After engagement in February, then March in FDA action in early April. But one of the other things that came up in March was a letter from a criminal head in Newcastle. Are you aware of that letter? Now, that letter pertains to the Roshan light sources. And if you take on board his argument, that in actual fact, and this was the big argument, that these are in fact just tortures. Have you done, let me put my question in context. Are you going to now, as part of your investigation, conduct a thorough investigation into whether these Rofan light sources are actually worth the huge amounts of money we pay to them, or whether they in actual fact are just torches with revolving lenses on them to give you different lights?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. In actual fact, my forensic audit, they are almost about halfway in dealing with that. My question was, firstly, why do we take a maintenance contract while you have the warranty and the guarantee? And two, obviously what makes it different, I said, let us conduct our investigation so that we can see what is it that makes them different, what is special about them. We're also looking at the lifespan of the process that we've already started. Thank you.
As Commissioner also, in terms of the PFMA, there is a document called the GRV, I'm sure you should receive it. And it says that you can only pay for something unless the goods are received. Now, in terms of the maintenance contract, which I think was 11 million rand a year, about for 3,573 items. Can you confirm whether your investigation confirms that you receive 3,573 GRVs every month? Because surely that would need to be a report on every single item out there that maintenance is done on. If I maintain this torch, surely I must report that I've maintained this torch serial number such and such and such, if I'm being paid for it. So have you looked into that? And also, if you haven't, can you please make that part of your your investigation, because I'm quite certain when we get down to that level of detail, we'll start seeing really what's going on there.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think the intelligence of the Honourable Member is very strong. I think I received a preliminary report from the forensic investigation. It exactly picked up the fact that some of the cereals based on this maintenance, they seem unexpected, which then proves that we actually on top of the matter. I am going to get a complete report that says exactly what have we been paying and what are the services that we've seen. As part of it, we're taking it forward as you, the Honourable Member, suggested. Chair, thank you.
Commissioner, thank you for your compliments. I've learned over many years that the corruptor is in the detail, not the devil. The corruptor and the corruption is in the detail. When you dig down to saying, give me a GRV for 300, for every single item, that's when suddenly people can't provide it, and that's when you say, aha. So I wish you luck. Is that falling into a 30-day timeline as well that you gave us earlier?
I think it won't be difficult to include it within the 30-day timeline, but I've given a timeline to the forensic investigation. We will give you a report on the 30-day based on the progress of the committee chair. Thank you.
I'm now going to just direct my questions just very shortly to Dr. Marby and to the commissioner, and they can respond. Are you familiar with the letter that came through last week from Adams and Adams from a company called FACT, who used to be IFS, who have now curtailed the licenses to FDA? And can you comment on that? Maybe Dr. Marby.
Yes, I'm familiar with the letter. And the letter is subject of our further investigations. We are asking FDA in particular to respond to it. It has become the material part of various litigations. I'm informed that the couple of litigations there are based on an urgent basis, where normally we don't have dispute of facts. But so two things happened there. The litigations that are there around payments on FPS and one with subs on PKF, where this issue raised a dispute of fact about exactly what is, who licenses what to us and under what kind of arrangement. Because the letter disputes the fact that, or suggests that there was no authorization by fact for FDA to license portions of the PKM system to such. The letter furthermore raises potential further litigation on what we have sort of already, which are claims, on various claims for past payments that we've made to FDA and FDA basically.
So just to bring the committee and everyone here into context, FACT, or as they used to be known, IFS, which was they were fingerprinting services, they provided licenses to FDA to supply FPS, a system called AMS Capture, Config Asset Management, and then remember we referred to EMS, Evidence Management System, and LENS, which was the old system before PCAP. So they provided them with the licensing so that they could in turn provide licensing to others. And then the problem arose, according to this letter, is that the licensing was irregularly used for the PKIP. And as a result, they are now withdrawing their licenses. Which effectively means, if just correct me if I'm wrong, that they now cannot, FDA cannot license anything, because the foundation of their licensing has been removed by the original licensee, or a licensor. Am I correct in saying
that? That's understanding.
Thank you.
Take it that will be taken into account in any further, who knows, maybe 10 years from now when, if they apply for another contract. But that will sort of take into account.
Indeed, it will.
my last revelation, as it were. I would like to just ask Dr. Mahapi the following. Are you familiar with the following people? Barney Fenter?
Yes, I am.
Rachel Fenter?
Yes, I am.
Christo de Grain?
I know about Christo de Grain.
And Yolanda Conchita?
Not familiar with.
Okay. Are you and the commissioner familiar with the gentleman by the name of André Tibbet du Toit?
Yes, I am.
Do you know why you remember his name?
He was once with us and he led the people.
Do you know about his conviction?
Not only, but only today. By now.
Commissioner, I'm sure maybe we're thinking about somebody different, but André Tibbet du Toit was the gentleman who was convicted for 10 years, or sentenced for 10 years for being head of the Bulemach plot. Around 2010, the Bulemach plot to literally a terrorist organization.
You remember him well, yes.
Okay. Dr. Mahapi, are you aware of the fact that Barney Fenter worked at CETA?
Yes, I am.
And that Rachel Fenter also worked there?
Rachel still works there.
Still works.
She's on suspension.
And Yolanda Conchita, the correspondence I have, she correspondence on CETA letters at the bottom. CETA has its letters at the bottom. She corresponds on that sort of thing. Now, and Christo de Grain, do you know Christo de Grain is, where he works?
The document that I've seen, I used to work for FDA, one of the companies.
Oh, so FDA. Now, the documents I'm referring to are correspondences between André du Toit, who's in prison, and these individuals. And it refers to the kind of assistance that he is getting from individuals working from CETA, and from FDA, financial assistance. So, what is your comments on the fact that you're members of who are employed at CETA, who are supporting financially a convicted, in effect, terrorist?
We've covered this last year, and one of the charges for Mr. Fenter was the use of CETA assets in respect of that kind of support and communication.
What form of CETA assets are we talking about?
Networks, because my understanding was that there's a particular letter from Mr. Pitoy to Mr. and Mrs. Fender that was received and stored on the and communication between them received on CETA equipment and networks.
So we have somebody sitting in prison who is a convicted terrorist, and they're able to freely get into or send emails to your systems. Is that correct?
That was the case then.
So those could carry viruses, malware, etc., etc.
There somebody would be systems of protection against viruses, against, generally speaking. But the question was, yes, if the letters were initially driven to see from Mr. Dito, who was in prison at the time, or was still in prison.
Okay. Can you comment on Barney Fenter's role in the allocation of the RT contracts we spoke before? FPS, PCAM, and the various versions of PCAM. Can you comment on his role in the allocation of those contracts or the awarding of those sole supplier contracts to FDA, to Unisys? And can you also comment, let's start there for a second. Can you comment on his role in the allocation of those contracts?
His...
his main pronounced role was in the Rocket contract of 2014, and his particular role was the business case originator, at least formally. And the business case would then be, he works in the line of business, as we call it. Then the business case would then motivate for certain types of contracts, which would then be given to our supply chain unit, and then process all the way into adjudication award. Yes. And also, if I may, then it, and I've seen that he was also involved in contracting as well.
Further on the contracting?
No, contracting would, once an award is made, it is handled by legal department working together with supply chain, but with the line of business providing the technical details. But in our case here, he was the one who was doing the contracting and or directly negotiating essentially the contracts.
Okay, so he was essentially negotiating the contract with the FDA and with Unisys. Do you believe that there was justification for sole supplier contracts in regard to any of these contracts?
So we've just mentioned that we what we know now, certainly, we should have tested the market and we know it.
Dr. Marby, were you in charge at the time? If we go back to 2004, 2005, 2006, when this all started, contract started.
I was not.
Who was the CEO there?
2004, I think Mr. Mabuso Msimang was then the CEO. And then in 2010 was probably Mr. Blake. And of course, then in 2014 was probably Mr. Freeman.
Cinta considering any action against them, having presided over all these contracts, once they are proved to be irregular, all these maintenance contracts, all supply contracts?
No, we have not come to that.
Okay, and can you provide Treasury the deviation, the Treasury approval letters for deviations? Can you or the Commissioner provide any letters supporting deviations for any of the FDA Unisys contracts that we've discussed?
We will, for the ones that we have, I think there was, could have been one for FPS, but the rest of them, no. But I never seen anything.
You see, I saw the notes that there's one from FPS, but unfortunately, your link doesn't work, just by the way. And you click on it, it says your letter to Treasury, and Treasury letter back, it doesn't work, so you can't open. Now, PKEM, now remember this should have gone through you and you guys should have been helping the SAPS. PKEM, you know, this is quite a crazy situation because you've got PKEM, right, which is the Property Control Exhibit Management System, right? You had version 1.1. Then we had another version 1.1. And then another version 1.1. And then a version, I think, 1.1x or a version 1x or something like that. Now, the information that I have is those are just repackaged to make more money. From a CETA point of view, can you confirm that that is the case? That literally we were just repackaging, with all due respect, to an ignorant customer. And I don't mean ignorant in the nasty sense. I really don't, Commissioner, or to you and yourself. But if somebody spoke to me about deep IT architecture, my eyes would glaze over within a minute. Because I don't know that. It's not my field. So it's easy to sell detailed IT projects to folk that are not IT tech, you know, IT savvy, and to actually lose them pretty quickly. Do you confirm that that is exactly what happened? That the various incarnations of PKEM were actually just repackaging of essentially the same project, sold to folks that couldn't work out exactly what they were doing. Is that fair to say?
Yes, It is fair. I have been informed about that. And part of the litigation that we have, joint litigation with SEPS, deals with the fact that the original eventual rights to use of the first version of the system still subsists to this day. On the fact that there were no major, these are similarly the same systems. Like if one buys the eventual right to use, you never lose it, irrespective of how much additional consent comes in, which you pay for anyway under your maintenance contract.
Isn't a perpetual right to use illegal? Is it a legal mechanism in terms of government?
We have not tested that. What it does though, what it means is that you are buying a right to use it to perpetuity, which can sound like an evergreen access to a system. And sometimes we can use it to say that to essentially embed a particular application within, or a software system within an environment. But we've seen quite a lot of that, and I have asked in particular that we get an opinion on that, and the extent to which in particular it complies with the law.
Okay, so last two questions. So effectively you're saying that your investigation shown that the reincarnations of PKM were effectively just repackaging? Have you by now looked into that? And effectively it's minor cosmetic changes to the systems?
Not formally. I've just been given a sense that they could have been. That means that the version is pretty much the same version. But remember, when you have different patches on top of the main software system, you pay for those patches through your maintenance contract in any case. But we're doing a forensic investigation on the software base of all of the systems, and we're not get at the point where it's fully confirmed.
The final question is obvious, is why didn't you pick this up? That's your job. That's CETA's job. Why did you not stop the SAPs from doing this and give them the right of us?
We should have. I think it was a weakness in our internal systems, control systems, technical advisory systems, exacerbated by the fact that we had people who had evidence such as a material interest that was not the same as the interest of organizational service who were providing the advice. We should have done better.
Just to wind up, okay, so this morning we've covered the contracts. We've shown that the contracts look irregular. We've shown that a senior SAPS official received significant amounts of money from the same people who paid for the Manchester United trip. And we've also seen that this entire thing is tainted by a relationship with a company that could be linked to the Bulawayo. Or have links to the book. And so I certainly hope we take that into account in our considerations going forward. But Commissioner, I just want to thank you for your commitment that you will investigate these matters, but I'm sure you know that we will be here to hold you accountable and make sure we get the answers. Thank you very much, Chief. Thanks.
Okay. Comrade Vincent,
can you just assist in terms of time, Chair? One question, five questions, two questions, just so that I know how to prioritize.
Three questions.
Very good.
Yeah.
Question and answer.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let me start with this. Well, let me make a statement first. The reason why we call all of you is because we think that if you work as a team, it's better. But what is very clear is that you don't seem to be working as a team, the two of you. You don't seem to be working as a team, because I asked when Minister was here that he sees this letter, because this letter has seriously damaging evidence of Bulawayo. Seriously damaging evidence of Bulawayo. Minister hasn't seen it and commissioner hasn't seen it. And that is the problem, and I'll get to it just now. That's why I asked that question. But commissioner, you this document that the chair said we should talk to, have a multi-disciplinary committee looking at the very same thing we're looking at. But you don't include CETA, why not? I'm just trying to understand that you're talking about the same thing. You don't include CETA in it. And the reason why I'm raising this is because I don't want you to waste our time. You see, CETA gives us a report that says we've done an investigation. We've done a forensic investigation with all the damning evidence, which you don't seem to have, and yet you've got a multi-team that gives you a report on the 1st of May, yesterday. Did you receive a report yesterday? What I'm trying to get to say is that I really don't think that these guys are assisting themselves and assisting us. That's the point that I wanted to make, Barbara, because this report that you received on the 1st, you clearly couldn't have gone through that report to come and prepare for us. You just couldn't do it. And if you did receive it, you've not received it. But let me get into my business, and I'll focus mostly on CETA. Rachel Fenter, you said, is your employee implicated in all of these things that Tim was talking about. She's suspended. Have you suspended her with pay?
Yes, she's suspended.
And how long has she been suspended with pay? Well, let's put it this way. How long? Let me just put the question directly to you. How much is she getting? Because I'm going to ask you how much has she been suspended, what level she is. At what level is she? You're suspending somebody with pay. You indicate to us that she's bought farms and all sorts of things. And I must sit here and listen to that. What level is Rachel Fenter?
She's an administrator, but I don't have the details of her salary. I can provide that.
She's an administrator. She's able to do all these type of things at the level of administrator.
She, when we investigated her, I mean, her job is not to do that. She worked in the same department as Ms. Fender. When we investigated her, the leads went to her, and we did an investigation on her and found all these things on her computing devices.
Mrs. Fender is an administrator. These supply chain management decisions, you're saying she's able to influence them?
No. She got to be able to handle and see a lot of the correspondences going through to the managers there.
Why did you suspend her?
She's been on various I can give you the details. It's. Conflict of interest, among other things, that she owned a company that she had not declared.
Yeah. All right. I want to cover some of the things that I'm just going to emphasize them. You know, we've got names of the Brain, Center, Nadia, Ansi Knight, Commissioner, works for you. Do you know somebody called Ansi Knight? If you're not, you better look at it. I'm looking at all these names, and I'm asking you, Bob, do we have a problem in CETA with a cabal that has taken over CETA? I'm saying all these names are the names that came up in your report. Is this cabal still in place? And are they still assisting people like the Kuruma as we speak?
We are working on breaking it up through our investigations right now. I would be very, I can't say what they're doing because they're busy. People hide things, but we are actively working against the cabal itself.
My final question, maybe, sir. Around this whole thing, so I was just looking at the principle around finances. You say that five resigned, 5 suspended and 3 dismissed. Do you know the names of these people? Who are the 5 that resigned? Who are the 5 that were suspended? And who are the 3 that are dismissed? If you could, did you have those names offhand? I didn't see them in your report.
I can provide them after, within the next, before I close office this week. I mean, I can name them, but I won't get to 5 by 5. I know some of them.
You know some?
Yeah.
Those that are suspended, or let me put you differently, those that have resigned, if they are clearly implicated in this thing, what is your recourse to those? They've resigned, clearly because they've got something to hide. What is your recourse to them? If they're still alive? The second point is those 5 that are suspended. I'm assuming they're suspended. Can you give me a commitment that this is not going to be a 5-year suspension with pay or a 3-year suspension with pay? Because I don't think that that is appropriate. So those that are suspended, can we fast-track it? Because I don't think we should be funding somebody who is, I don't want to use the word because I'll get political. I don't want you to be funding these people. And then the third one is those that were dismissed, do they get dismissed with their pension? So you've dismissed people. Did you dismiss them like you dismissed anybody else that gave him his pension and his medical aid and everything else? Those that are suspended, can we get a time frame as to when do you think they're going to come back to work or their contracts terminated so that the state doesn't continue to fund them? And the third question is that those that have resigned, if they are still alive and are implicated in the serious matter, what is the recourse to those people? And finally, if we could get the names of all the people here, so that I want to be in a position to name and shame some of them.
The names will be given, sir. Recourse, well, there's indication of criminal activity, we are always reporting them to the authorities. And that's our ultimate recourse. I mean, if they stay for throughout the disciplinary hearing, we go through them, and we go through them fairly efficiently. I can confirm that those suspensions will not take anything more than a year. A year is even way too much. There's a few, probably weeks left in the handling of the suspensions. And people are dismissed according to the law as much as possible. Well, the law provides for.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I apologize for my late arrival. I landed and was not feeling well, so I quickly went in to see the doctor. I humbly apologize for the chair. Chair, last time I raised the concern or question as to whether the leadership overseeing CETA was actually in charge of CETA. And I still firmly believe that I cannot get a sense that we are having a leadership that is considered firmly in its hand. The series of shortcomings continue to escalate. And as far as I'm concerned, whatever progress that we're making is like equals in favor. And it worries me quite a lot. I just want to go back to the sequence of events and so far as the switch off is concerned, Chairperson. Because the last time when I made the point that a threat of this nature would come to fruition, it was a very heated exchange, and I had the rare privilege of going back to watch that particular recording on that day, and I can assure you, Chairperson, that I am convinced that I'm alive, that the tentacles of the cabal extend well beyond CETA to the very heart of the steps. And that's the problem. This email of Wednesday, 11 April, at 6:51 p.m. So CETA goes back to switch on the system. But I would imagine that BN Pasan, Brigadier Pasan, as a section head, was probably rather responsible for this particular section which is involved with Peter. Because in the email, it says, who can you track or investigate who switched on the system, as we are not aware what will be the impact on the content. And then the paragraph there says, if the team established that the system is on, Peter must ensure that these systems are not accessible, nor should completely off until the further executive instruction issue. I'm not getting a situation of, to emphasize what Honorable Smith has said, the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. I would imagine the section head responsible should have known that Peter was switching this on. What's the leakage? Why are we having a problem with communication? It just worries me. So can we, I just want to zoom back to this, because the fundamental issue is we sat in this room and we all agreed that a threat was imminent. There's no doubt about it. We raised it. Boom. It happened on our watch. And then even when the decision takes place, there's still confusion. That's what I'm saying, Chad. School in C. So is this actually really, can we just dispense with this? The leadership of CETA firmly convinced that they are in charge. And as I said, in all good faith, happy with CETA and vice versa. Because really, this is one awareness that we are receiving, which is things are hunky-dory. Tell a different, you know, a different result when it comes to participation. So I just want to start there, Chair, then I will come to two more questions. And I want to comply, Sharon, if you're accused of non-compliance.
Okay.
With the non-public service.
All right. That's fine.
Good. Hey, thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Member. The Honorable Member can see that letter was, I was not copied there. I can confirm that on Monday, the 9th, one of the very first meetings that I had was with the National Commissioner, where I informed him in his office that indeed we had switched the systems on over the weekend. And there was a further meeting with the leadership within SEPS where we further confirmed that we had switched on the systems. And we agreed, it was clear that there was a court process. For us to be able to switch off, we would have to do it under a court process, so the systems were on. And that was also agreed in a much bigger meeting, that the rest of it is up to a court process. The letter that Honourable Member is reading, I became aware of it, but my view with the team was that having discussed all the matters with the National Commission, that the decisions of the Monday the 9th stay. So the systems are still on. Thank you.
Commissioner?
Yeah, Honourable Chair, thanks very much. Maybe firstly, let me start by linking to the previous question of including CETA in the multidisciplinary task team. I think they're not part of the investigation family, but they are part of the management family. Now, between myself and CETA, there's a strategic bilateral engagement, which is former. The two top management of CETA in fact, that is a meeting to discuss the matters. But the two, when it came to the switch off, one, the discussions which are only at my level and the level of the CEO due to the national security threat, which cannot be shared with any other person. But further to that, I've also considered changes. I think I've appointed Lieutenant General Makazela to take charge of forensic as the acting divisional commissioner, because I exactly wanted to address matters of strategic direction and decision making. Now FITA is linking directly with Lieutenant General Makatela. And when I make decisions as an accounting officer, no one writes something else that changes what I shall have agreed upon with FITA. I became aware of the correspondence that, and I said to FITA, ignore any correspondence or direction, take the direction right from me as we speak, and the next person could speak to Lieutenant General Makatela. Thank you.
Because I'm interested to know the fundamental interest that this Brigadier has in this matter, because the meeting had taken place with the National Commission of FITA on the 9th. What business did they have sending an email on the 11th, where they categorically say, to our surprise as TMS and the users, the system is switched on again? Why is there a fundamental interest in terms of the nuances of how the system was restored when the National Commissioner was obviously aware of it? So I'm interested to know, in terms of who this Brigadier Ian Kashan is, and what interest do they have in the system? Because obviously there's something that is like a magnet which is drawing them to what is actually going on insofar as the FMA, because they want reports. The requested report must reach this office by close of business on 13 April 2018. But the kind of thing, this section head, as far as I see, is probably demanding this report from the National Commissioner, because he was the one who was aware of the system in their court. But they want to know the exact nuance. Who is this? Because they want interest to their help, and they are going to investigate this kind of conduct. As far as I'm concerned, it's in subordination to the National Commissioner.
Chair, it will suffice to say, I think the minister talk about also a bit of research in terms of the change that we relating to. But my direct response to the question by the honourable member is part of the conduct matters that we're looking at, and we do have specific Lieutenant General who's appointed to deal with internal investigations relating to both conduct and action by any person who has been involved here. Thank you.
Chief, I'm not mistaken, my question is not going to take time, but I'm subject to correction. Is this Brigadier Pinkerton and the wife of General Hassan?
Honorable Chair, thank you. It's correct. The honorable member is correct.
Because even the subject of this image is concern on the switching of the point of the business provider. That's why I'm assuming, because it speaks exactly to the kind of problems that are there. Actually, let me move on. I don't want to Chair, last time we were in 6009 about vetting. And I'm still interested, Chair, because I think one of the bigger problems that arises as far as this vetting is concerned is the fact that one of the persons cited here, and Honorable Smith also touched on this particular person, is a sovereign here who is an ex-CISA employee and is now with FDA. Mr. Keating is a former member of the staff, is now with FDA. I still want to know what have the staff and FITA actually now, in light of all these emerging revelations, and now this talk of Borema, that's why I'm saying the main problem is the Shaw reverse, Koba in reverse, which helped Serbs and Theta taken the time to investigate these people whom they are doing business with. And if so, what have been the outcomes of that? And if not, why not? Because it cannot be, Jefferson, that people are going to enter into a serious space which deals with national security and fundamentally, in the most simplest of terms, become players in their families. So what is exactly going on here? I'm just saying, that heated exchange last time, for me, was the alpha and omega of the reality before us. Which is, FDA is on the shoulder of veterans of these institutions who want to make sure which hell or high water FDA continues to be part of the community. So has something actually been done to that effect? I would imagine that this particular revelation is that, but to zoom into, because why I ask about veteran children, it also leads us to the question of lifestyle audit of persons who are particularly involved for the vested interest in this matter. Is the commission prepared to take those kind of drastic steps with the relevant authorities? Otherwise, we're just scratching the surface.
Thanks very much. Honorable Chair, firstly, I have already instructed a vetting plan with the CI. That particular vetting plan has already started. It also includes specific areas with specific individuals which have been identified. And I'm sure Honorable Chair will also further remember when the President made the pronouncement on lifestyle audit, SAPS was first on the agenda. We also have a running lifestyle audit project, which is in execution at the present moment. This includes even members of the SAPS who get conflicted or whom we suspect that they may not be living within the ambit of their income. But just to confirm, both plans are in execution. Thank you.
Why I raise that issue, and I appreciate that converting plan is now in place. Does this seem to suggest that we must take with a pinch of salt the fixes and lines that we received the last time? Because so far as the question of vetting was concerned last time, we were unable to arrive at a sufficient response in terms of where we were and where we were going. Does this seek then to say that the process is starting again? Because I take very little comfort and credibility in that process that we made about the last time. Yes. Maybe then, Chair, to say, what is the time frame of this vetting plan that is now in place?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think one of the shortfalls that we had has been put forward by the Minister. And the one critical area was the absence of a divisional commissioner in crime intelligence in order to take charge and control of the leadership. I think we have appointed him and he's in our midst in the House. And he has been given special instructions. And the implementation of this vetting will be the first priority. The assurance we can give, maybe in the 30 days report, we can give a progress report from that particular plan. But we've got a Deputy Director General in charge of this process now. Thank you.
Okay.
So
I'll come back after the
report.
Thank you, Chairperson. Quite clearly, Commissioner, if our Honourable Member of Parliament didn't do his work, or didn't confirm our statement, and what IP suspicion has always been, that the scandal of revolution is not as easy as I'm making it. It's not about appointment of people. Quite clear what the Honourable Member said, there's a program of involvement in this particular matter. That's why he's under attack, that's why I think he's under attack. even yourself as a security crunch after you've told us about national interest and national sovereignty, have not been able to dig and tell us today that this is what is a security crunch. They've not digged anywhere. Why both you and the minister are agreeing about the appointment of people. What IP sense was that we are running a counter-revolutionary structure that is a threat to the country. And that's where our problem is. That's where my problem is. That's why it can't be your problem. It can't be your problem, Parliament is to take over. And how Parliament conducts itself, it's a matter that we're going to debate ourselves. For the security of our members and the security of IP is quite clearly, the whole security cluster has to be brought back. But even the National Commission, unless you can convince us now, here and today, that you do know these things are not being said, unless you can tell us. You see, I don't want to talk about CETA. So the whole threat, you are collaborating with CETA. But you see, the threat CETA is, it is dealing with national transition. It is dealing with the IFMF in National Treasury. So all the time that they've been doing this work, they've been doing it in the Burama. So it's way beyond yourself. It's a national threat to us. The safety of our own country is not in the capable hands. You came only yesterday to be the National Commission, fairly speaking. But quite clearly, this program has been unfolding for some time. And it is a national threat. And Parliament can't be an observer during this period. It has to take full responsibility because the information was disclosed in one of the parliamentary committees without the process. It was disclosed in the parliamentary process scope in the presence of the National Commissioner, who didn't have the capacity to divulge the information. Unless you sit down, we did know all these things that we're doing. Can you confirm or not confirm? And with it, I just want to know, have we declared this information anywhere in our security structure about the involvement of the Burama? Just to declare, have you told anybody about all the people that you have? Well, you are not a security structure, a technical structure. Which security structure? Where have you gone to? Have you gone to staff? Have you gone to anybody to say this is what you're confronted with? What have you done as CETA?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The confirmation I would give is that it is up to 80% of the information that's spoken about. I am aware. But secondly, the Burama issue is a bigger national security investigation. And there's somewhere where we have initiated our own investigations, which are more deeply CI-orientated and also COVID that is orientated. One of the reasons, Chair, is that we are unable to share all the information, especially for the public domain, but I would like to confirm that the issue of the Burama has been brought to our attention, and our previous investigations on the Burama before the takedowns, because we had almost 3 takedowns. The last one was in the Free State. We are still monitoring that particular process. But also these concerns that we're getting here, we are going to link them to our current COVID investigation in order to root out the Burama process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Remember, yes, we have reported to the Hawks about our discovery of the Hawks.
So you have a correspondence between yourself and the Hawks?
Yes, sir.
Will you provide it to Parliament? But coming back to what they're saying, sir, with due respect, it's public knowledge that the Burama are active in our structures, even undermining our security cluster.
Now, I'm saying power, parliament has got its own power. We don't need for a constitutional power this much. We'll deal with this much. We'll collaborate with now for our chapters in here. But we need to be able to get to the bottom of the matter itself. Because there's no way we can allow the an overthrow to take place. And while they're telling us about COVID structure, we know this type of thing, and nothing happens. The only thing is that you have the capacity to deal with this matter. Do you have the capacity to deal with it? I can also want to ask IP if they come across this type of information, and how have they handled it so far?
I think between ourselves, the investigations within self, DPCI, and NECOG, we do have the capacity. Thank you. We also include defense. I had an intercalated, we formalized bilateral engagement with defense where we're also discussing national security threats. Where do we come together? So we do have the capacity from the multi-operational disciplines. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Myself, apologies for coming late. It was a double engagement. I think there's just three points I'd like to make. The one is that I'd like to appeal to the National Commissioner that IPED is the friend of good policy. It's not its enemy. So the inertia and resistance to our investigations should be ended as quickly as possible. Between IPED and DPCI and the assistance of the public and whistleblowers and general assistance from South Africans of all walks of life from different backgrounds, we've been able to uncover this that is taking place, the collaboration between criminal elements and the police and CETA. So none of the stuff that the National Commissioner refers to as a good intelligence from Honorable Francis A. is new. We've made these assertions before. In response to these assertions and copious letters to the National Commissioner and the acting before him and the acting before him, and we've had resistance to suspend people where we have recommended it, and it's within our mandate to recommend it. Brigadier Patlani is an accused in a corruption case involving the same group of people. She's still at work. We've asked for a suspension, but she's still at work. My team and I have faced death threats. We have faced fabricated charges. Some have been charged and been taken to court. And after lengthy processes, there is no evidence the cases are withdrawn. So the collusion of interests between the police and subversive elements is also linked to some subversive elements in the prosecuting authority. When the threats, fabricated charges don't work, direct approaches have been made by senior members of the police service to our investigators, in essence to look the other way in exchange for, in return for positions within SAPS. Indeed, it's when we have raised problems with SAPS members engaged in corruption, it is indeed SAPS that has investigated us. Our bank accounts have been gone through hundreds of times. Our phones have been intercepted with officially and non-officially. We have been put under surveillance and attempts are made to destabilize IPED. There are people sitting in this room that can talk about it and can attest to what I'm saying. From the police side, very senior people,
they know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, on the last point raised by Honorable Boyd, the question needs to be asked whether SAPS is the vehicle being used to fund a white supremacist non-constitutional organization whose sole aim is to undo, to destroy by violence the constitutional order. That's the issue. A lot of money is thrown around, so a lot of people maybe not necessarily believe it in the same ideology, but are tempted by the money. And that's what it is. So it's more of a conspiracy in collaboration with the collusion of interests. So we need to look at it. We need to take it and deal with it with the seriousness it deserves. Now, I don't want to overdo it because I think, you know, Commissioner Sithole knew in that position. But Commissioner Sithole was aware of Patlani's activities when he was Patlani's supervisor at a certain stage because matters were brought to his notice. We've had resistance when we request the information, a long song and dance about declassification, which had nothing to do with state security. In fact, the declassification would help us get to the bottom of this corruption. So where we see subversion taking place, we can nip it in the bud. Not an instinctive resistance. Now, the truth of the matter is that the SAPs must become accustomed to operating in a constitutional democracy. The notion that we are the police, you can't investigate us, is you cannot reconcile with accountability demands of a constitutional democracy. So lastly, I will appeal to the National Commission, please cooperate with us. I will appeal to some of the other senior members of the police here, please cooperate with us. Not one of the assertions we've ever made in Parliament, either here or before the Portfolio Committee on Police, has been proven to be untrue, to be wrong, to be in doubt, to be not accurate. We've had all the evidence on every occasion on all of these issues. We'd really like some cooperation. And if you would notice, Commissioner Sithole mentioned all the people who have been helping investigate this subversive part of this investigation. Now, it's not that I feel rejected, but I did notice that IPED was left out of it. And IPED is the one that brought it to the fore. Of course, GPCI assisted us quite a lot with this whole process. So thanks to everyone, but please cooperate with us.
Did a very honorable thing. congratulations to that team. And keep it up, my brother. It was in our interest that when one of the defender comes, to do these matters. And this is what has happened. And it would help them to solicit from Parliament how to go deeper into the matter itself. All the institutions are intact. But you know, for a matter of fact, we have dealt with, staffs have dealt with quite a lot of intelligence matters. So we know what is happening. But the weaknesses are there and they are glaring. The overthrow of government is not something that you can postpone. It can happen at any time. Because our own institution has been used. And they are sponsoring, they are feeding this particular development. So it's quite clear that we and Madam Speaker and all others and the leader of government have to give us guidance of how to move forward. We're listening to Vincent, we're listening to Sky, we're listening to Team. There's still a lot that we can uncover. And listening to what IPT is reading, I hear what the police are saying, but there's only a convincing story. They're saying it's confidential now. The country will be overthrown by confidential and being accessed. But the police themselves didn't bring the matter to you. We have said to the police that if there are sensitive matters, can they talk to you so that you can remanage them for the sake of the public, for the sake of Parliament, because these are parliamentary processes. We deal with transparency. We can't, yeah, I don't want to insist that the National Commission is out of order. There's nothing to hide in Parliament if you want to insist, and it doesn't go to any rule. It doesn't have anything that protects the money citizens. If you want to do that, you go to the, you are to that Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, you can tell them that when you hear, you are our product, and you say what we want there, without undermining you, you say what we want here. Now, you are hiding, but you are leaving it towards our, the chairperson of our community to apply his mind more solidly. Because we do have rules of how to deal with confidentiality. We do have our own rules. Talk to the public or not, we have our own rules in Parliament. But this thing is a threat to our country. That's all we wanted to continue to do, investigate where the threat originates. Like it originates in our own institutions. But since that deal with national treasure, so it's a threat to our country. And we can't leave it here. We need to deal with that. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Ross? Just for record, I'd like to state that in terms of national security issues should be left to the national security cluster to deal with those issues. I think that would be appropriate. I'd just like to confine my remarks to the scope of mandate today, but also to highlight the importance of the shutdown in terms of the SAP system. And I think we've seen all the ramifications that came forth in that regard. But I think the Commissioner has made an important revelation in terms of the task team to say that the ownership of the IT or the software is important. And my question is with regards to where does this ownership currently lie in terms of the legal situation? Is it sub judice, the ownership of the software? And what is the risk to the public of South Africa in terms of a possible shutdown again? Now that would be important. And then with regards to CETA, we've seen today that I think there's a gross violation in terms of oversight of CETA on these contracts. I think there was an admittance to this, and perhaps in terms of preventing further risk, but also in terms of accountability, what would the recommendations from CETA be in this regard, in terms of shutdowns and the possibility of those shutdowns reoccurring? Thank you.
Honourable Chair, can I request that we leave it escalated to the court pronouncement? It will definitely be sub judice. But our fight is that we can't have a software in the police that is owned somewhere, and that is the direction we are following. Thank you.
We made a
by the National Commission that we rewrite the entire software base ourselves, such that the intellectual property ownership and research of the state will fall. That has been accepted. So we're starting that project this year.
Could you just explain that to me again in terms of your position of prevent situation in future perhaps, and perhaps give us a why does it happen in terms of the ownership, because I feel it's a gross violation in terms of the ownership model that was not it's within the service provider still in his capability of switching off a system. Preventing that, just give us a clear answer in terms of what your recommendations is going forward, and what your views in the current situation in terms of the legal position. Do you concur with the Commissioner that it's currently sub judice, but it's still within the ambit of the service provider as we speak?
Yeah, it is sub judice, and I cannot certainly say that the IP ownership does not reside with the state. So the new letter that we found that came in last Thursday, I don't put a spanner in the works on who owns which part of the IP base. Moving forward, the two things, I mean, in the short term, we have secured the entire environment, so it's only operated by CETA personnel, just so that the systems are up. But then in the medium to long term, it is rewriting the entire software, such that the future ownership, the ownership of the future software applications inside the state fully.
Thank you very
much.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to talk to the issue of the response that was given to us by on item 4 on the payment. Item 4, I think it's fixed from page 10, 11. This one. Better from. Yeah, Chairperson, I think because we, when we check our meeting that we had with, the commissioner and his team in November, the main point of discussion was really the SGA one. I understand that some issues are in court, but I just want to talk in relation with the value for money, therefore as the CEO, Dr. Mahathi, has stated here. When you look at the relationship between the department, CETA, SAS, and FDI, it's a kind of chapter of a, you call it clientelism. Clientelism, I think, is where some other people or a group of people, they benefit some of the benefits that we're not supposed to be for a particular reason. Because I'm saying this, you see, there's been an expansion of this contract. When you check on the analysis of the value for money, FDL, Rofin, Nikon, Safran contract, which has been effective from 2014, and there's been money that has been paid in terms of maintenance of the equipment that is being charged monthly. The CEO put it straight that here, this money that has been paid, we are not even sure. You put it there, CETA has not verified that the maintenance was in fact carried out 4 times or 3 times, but nonetheless, money has been paid. When you go on proposed FPF contract extension for a period of 2017 to 2020, you can see, Chairperson, that we are speaking of something that is not going to lift up. We might be causing a lot of noise. Hence, I'm telling you, I'm saying it's a clientelism kind of relationship that SAPS has with the FDA. And we are just making noise. I don't know, it's being perceived like that. We are making noise as Parliament. Whereas there's no benefit, there's no value for money. clientelism relationship will continuously go on within SARS, between SARS and the FGA. The question that I want to ask Chairperson is the validity of this FGA. What is CETA plans to do in terms of terminating? I remember Comrade Vincent in November was very much vocal in terms of you go and terminate this contract. Because in the first place was not created for good, but it was created for somebody to come and make money. We appreciate the work that they are doing, but the validity of this contract, the way it has been planned, the way it has been outlined, and the way going forward, in fact, and things are going to depend on FDA. You can't do anything, even in terms of equipment servicing. You can't do it. Somewhere it was being mentioned that a camera or something you can easily buy electricity. You can buy it to the total cost, I think, of, but you can have your own camera. But contracts still continue to happen. I just want Commissioner and Dr. Mahati just to explain a little bit in what you have explained to us.
Thanks very much. The first one, Rofin, we terminated it. And that has been effective the end of March. It is in court. We are being challenged about our right to terminate and rest of the cash payment. In terms of the value for money, part of the reason why we have dealt with our consequence managed people is because of the fact that they who signed up on work that seemingly was not done. So we're dealing with that. However, we further tightened the controls there. So on Annex Chart B, for example, we show the new checklist that we are forcing our people to go through to verify that whatever work is claimed by the third party, FDA, is actually done. It turned out that a lot of the paperwork that came through claiming payment was actually prepared by FDA and never really verified by anybody. Again, there's consequence management going through that. We have instructed our legal team and they've issued the necessary payments to start litigation in relation to what seems to be overpayments or best has worked out. And that's a separate litigation exercise. Then the FPS, so often that one is gone now. On FPS, the effect of us locking FDA out is that there is no maintenance or support that is being done. Therefore, there are no recurring costs there. And our litigation in court is that is around the fact that we still retain and personal rights abuse that was paid for. Respect to FPS was paid for in 2006. So on that basis, combining the two things, the position would be that there are no costs that were being incurred or no further exposure to that. But again, that is subject to the court process.
Thank you, Dr. Mahati, for the response. In terms of your response, your terminated is that the FPS one, you've got the proposal. I wanted you to speak on terms of the proposal, in terms of extending the period from 2017 to 2020. Can you talk about that one?
Thank you very much. That was the one that was disclosed in November, that the contract has not been signed. A letter of award was issued for 2017 to 2021. But the effect of that, of a contract not being signed and informed, and again that's a subject of another litigation, is that we are only on a month-to-month, and our claim is in court. I have said that our claim is we only can cost the extent that there is maintenance and support being done, but we have specifically locked them out of the systems. So just going back, the we have not signed a contract since the letter of award was issued in November.
What I want to understand is that, you know, Chairperson is a worrisome because government employs your CEO, employs your accounting officer, does it have to have a whistleblower to come and tell the country of our parliament to come and tell something for the problem until those particular people who are sitting in offices, cash offices, to act on issues? Why do we have to wait for someone to come and whistleblow or for someone to lead the story before we can see that we didn't follow processes, due processes in terms of our legal tender? Because I'm saying this, we are sitting here with FDA contract. We'll be discussing it, even we'll go to elections next year, we'll come back, probably the next committee that will be here on this paper will still speak about this issue. Why do we have to not to take our own responsibilities? And as well, Chairperson, I might as well as talk about the board of CETA, because it was mentioned that the board of CETA is one that is responsible, that the CEO, Dr. Mahathir, reports to, and your previous predecessors. What is the role of the board, Chairperson, in terms of this regard?
Thank you very much. On the first one, it's not never right to just be reactive to whistleblowers. That's just to confirm to the committee that in fact our discovery of these matters happened quite early before the whistleblowers came through. And as a result of our own initiative into investigative initiative into our supply chain management system, which started in February of 2017. To the extent, though, that we sometimes get information from whistleblowers that we act on, we take that we should reduce, in fact, or we should reduce the number of situations that are triggered by such. Most of them should be things that are covered by our own internal control system. All of the discoveries are helping us in cleaning up the organization.
Is the board of CETA here? Any representative of the board of CETA?
Yes, Chair. I'm the chairman of the Social and Ethics Committee of the board, a member of the Audit and Risk Committee, and also a non-executive director of the CETA board. We do take this matter quite seriously. We have regular updates on the investigations and how we are progressing, and it's led by the board, these investigations together with management. We are looking at this as lessons learned. We're looking at where these weaknesses happen throughout the organization, and some of the initiatives that we've kicked off, for instance, the lifestyle audit of all employees. We're looking at vetting of various employees. So we've implemented a number of other steps arising from these findings. Thank you.
So thank you. I'll come back later, but I don't understand the validity of this contract. I think, I don't know, maybe it's my own understanding. I don't understand the explanation, Dr. Mahathir. Maybe the commissioner will speak. I really don't understand. I don't understand the validity of this contract. You are in court, I understand. You want to have your own life, what is it, your own license, switch it on, switch it off. I mean, how do you have a relationship when you are paying someone, the person just decides to switch it off and putting everybody at risk? And let off awarding, it's there, terminated something, but there's still a relationship that's going on. I don't understand. If anybody can assist me to understand this relationship, with this SDSE. Like I'm saying, it's going to be a thorn in the next stage to 40 years. I don't understand. I don't understand. Peter in particular. Thank you.
I hear what the concern that you, but my take is that we are going to work together, Commissioner and CEO, and not move in cycles, but ensure that we move directly. The report that should come out end of May, that should take us a step forward. And I think those investigations should actually tell us where we're going vis-a-vis those contracts, because the issue is those contracts and their validity, and especially the payments that have been made so far. But then be able to calculate how much has been paid and have all those money paid because they were made in false pretenses. And who were the accomplices? Because those contracts are signed. Those who signed, if they were called by anybody to sign, they would say, no, our support is done for us, so it to sign, so that all those individuals can not to do. So your concern can be taken. But, Tim, and I want us to, yes, I'll come back to you, but may allow my colleague here to.
We're just winding up. Chair, just a question to the Commissioner and a question to Dr. Barbie. Commissioner, you've made some promises today with timelines and reports. I'm a little bit concerned because you also made a promise the last time you were here. Do you remember what that promise was? You made a promise to release documents to IPA within 14 days. You haven't done that. And you came with a excuse this morning is national security. So can you please respond to that? That's one promise broken already. I hope you're not going to break any more.
Yeah, Honourable Chair, thanks very much. I think that I did have a meeting with the executive director of IBID, and I also brought this matter to the minister. I requested both the minister and the executive head of IP that we both meet the minister, because the committee, when we chair summarized, he said, yes, you must provide this classified information, but within the relevant legislation. So from here, I request that we be afforded the opportunity, myself and the executive director, to talk to the minister, because the minister also said he's going to call us. Thank you.
Okay. So do you understand that we need to move forward on these issues? You know what the matter I'm talking about. It relates to declassification of items around the jewelry investigation. That needs to be declassified. ARPA needs to be able to do that. We need to move on. So, working within legislation, once again, what does that mean? How long? End of May? Because, so you could be working with the legislation for the next year. ARPA needs to do their work.
Honourable Chair, I think from the direction I got from the Minister, by the end of the Magushalev long night, and IP has also returned to the minister, I will personally also ask the minister then to convene us. Thank you.
Okay. And then just one comment on something you said earlier, is that you would like to report to the commit to the chair on a certain matter. As Honourable Boy pointed out, we have mechanisms. We can meet in committee. It is completely irregular for you to be reporting information that this committee is interested in directly to the chair. You must call for an in-committee meeting if it is sensitive from a national security point of view, sensitive from a court point of view. We can meet in committee. cannot exclude this party. That's completely unconstitutional. Okay, that's just a point I'm making. Dr. Mahapi. Dr. Mahapi, you have spoken now that you want to possibly revisit all the PKM, all the various systems, reroute them, set them up again. Do you understand that we're then doing exactly what we did in the past again? And my concern is in terms of where the ownership of the licensing fees are, all the expenditure to date that has been expended to investigate all these systems, to take them into court, is all effectively fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because if it had been done right and correctly and without corruption in the first place, none of this would have been a problem. So my question to you is, if you accept that a lot of the expenditure has been fruitless and wasteful, and possibly I plead to you not to go and reinvent the wheel again in the future, but coming to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, who do you think should be responsible for that? Because the various acts and the new auditor general is going to be given powers to recommend collection. So who do you think should be responsible for that? We can't let CTORS look in that regard.
CETA, at the end of the day, at its highest level, should be held responsible for all the activities that have been added. Starting with the board, the executive management, the CEO, execution director, and the head official that were found to have been responsible for the actual actions.
Going to redo all these systems now is just a duplication of cost and further fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Is there no value at all to any of the systems? The big issue is the license. But is there any value at all to any of the systems if we have to do it again? Have we literally just lost a couple of billion rand? Have we lost that out the window?
So the difference is that once as a license represents a right to use, the underlying what is called source code, which are the instructions to the computer, are then owned separately. And our challenge right now is that some of these mission critical applications may have the underlying source code owned by a third party, even though there is a right to use. It is not abnormal for such mission critical applications to be written in such a way that the underlying intellectual property is owned by the state. One can claim that if you have perpetual right license to use and you stop using those rights, then there's something to lose there, certainly. But I think what one gains is complete freedom and complete control of the functionality that supports the work of the access.
Sure, you'll agree that what has happened before now has been a complete mess. And we would really like, as the Public Accounts Committee, for you to walk us through, not today, but walk us through your process from now on in terms of what you're going to do to alter the existing software, the ownership of the existing software, the ownership of the licenses, etc., the ownership of the source code, to reside with CETA or SAPs, and how much that's going to cost. And whether or not you can do it yourself, whether or not you're screening. I think you need to understand scope and what's this like a hawk. We may not need to hear it instead, but certainly we'd like to have the documentation to make sure that this mess doesn't happen again. Chair, I just want to make a final comment. I just think that scope needs to get credit for the work we've done on this matter. Mr. McBride is quite correct in terms of the fact that Papa have been working on this and that many other people have been working. But it is through a system of whistleblowers, information that enabled us to bring it to this committee. It's enabled us to do the relevant research to make this matter public. You know, there's nothing like the cleansing light of the SCOFA committee hearing, you know, where everything is laid out and there's nowhere left to hide. because then we can move on. And I'm sure we've probably gouged the surface, but there's a lot more. And then the help of the media as well. And I just think that we need to give credit where credit is due to all the people that have worked on this matter, all the people that have brought it to Stover's attention, allowed us to do our work from our various angles to make sure that this matters. And then finally, you know what, if we can't put people in jail, we can at least limit their space to move. And frankly, sometimes we can at least make them toxic that nobody wants to touch. And if we can achieve some form of justice in that regard, in rearing of corruption, then I think we're moving in the right direction. Thank you, Chief.
All right. Thank you very much. And what? Then I'll come to Public Boy, and then I'll come to Ross.
No, I think I've almost said, look, Chair, I think it was in November, and I asked about the last day transaction, and the CFO at the time was in the 6 or 9 and was unable to give a response. I understand now why, but I think my understanding is probably enhanced by the fact that, and I've said this before, at that meeting, the commissioner, the national commissioner, sort of directed me to a Hambarashi approach. It must not be harder than to want that particular matter. I think that is just one shining example of the rot that's within there, because it's obviously very clear that the National Commission has inherited a poison challenge. And to his left, to his right, back and front, he's slam bang in the middle of a syndicate. One which is operating within the set and with the business associated outside. And that is the biggest shortcoming. You see, if you kept of the Fed within the hands of business, and at the forefront of that captures FDA, the very people who are in the Fed are now outside the Fed and understand all the shortcomings, all the weaknesses, and the concerns within the system who are the bridge which enables them to come in and out of that as they wish. And I just think the National Commissioner needs to be like the sea, the ocean, and flush out young and nonsense in a panel in the Shinji Shiva. Because it's evidently there. But Chair, what I actually wanted to finally focus on is, and this was triggered by the executive director of the IPD, why is Brigadier Parana still at work? I really want to understand, because last time when we were here in November, she was fingered in certain things. Today, I was pointing out to the documents applied and a very key interest in the continued survival of FDA and wanting to know which, who is who in the zoo. So far as FDA is concerned, with all due respect to her, if any, she's safe, and as far as I'm concerned, continues to oversee a very strategic space of work within the set. And if the director, the director of IT, says they've called for her suspension and she remains at work, I'm interested to know why she's not at work, because for me that speaks to a high level of a lack of cooperation. Because obviously reasons must have been cited by IPED why she must be suspended. I'm interested to know what the responses are from that school, why is she at work? Particularly after this particular email which she has sent. Because for so long as the consequence management is selective, then everybody else is bound to do as they please. Because we know we are operating an animal farm kind of set. So take us into our confidence in the National Commission. why did she address, the chair will know. I always make the reference insofar as we are concerned about conflict contamination. Protected river folk. And I'm really interested in why is she at work?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think there's two processes that we follow in terms of the review regulation. When you receive a report about a involvement, prima facie case, you first follow the summary dismissal approach, which is the expeditious process. If you did not follow the expeditious process, then you must allow a normal internal investigation to proceed till you get a report. Out of that report, you then take action, whether you suspend or not. By the time I came in and I took over, the internal investigation was already in progress, which means the expeditious process was not taken as an option. Then the investigation carried on, and we, until then, we receive the final report that then talks to that. So the delay is that we took the investigation route, and we needed to get the report so that we finally, that is decided. But the matter is one of the matters that has been given high priority for quick, that is, conclusion, so that we're able to dispose of this matter. I've also issued instructions on this, and there's other matters, other information that came to the fore while the investigation was actually carrying on. And such information we've also received from IP. Thank you.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. How long is this process going to take? I think the one thing which I hope by the end of this journey which you're going to work with us is that you appreciate the fact that you really want to be time-bound. Can't be open-ended. Because how quick is quick? It's the guard of the guard, which is IPED. I'm yet to hear the National Commissioner contradict the Executive Director in that a recommendation for a suspension was made. But we are still running a process when IPED itself is making a recommendation. It's this 6 of the 9th chair which gave me this when is this investigation going to be concluded? So you can bring this to a logical conclusion.
Chair, with your permission, can you make it part of the report that we should submit on the table? We can provide the report of the outcome. Thank you.
Then how much will that be at the cost level at the time you give us the report? Because you see why I'm raising it. Sister says that she's putting the cost involved. You said to us that $200,000. I'm just asking how much money is going to spend in this whole process.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. We have formalized our process and then in terms of then moving forward. But Peter is the one that's going to do the costing in terms of us changing or turning around the whole that is system issue. But from that side, we started looking into the new specifications in terms of how contracts and how systems should work. But we will be working together. We can provide the costing to the committee.
So, Commissioner, even at a level where you said, oh, it's national sovereignty, it's national interest, we're still confident of CETA. And CETA disputing your cause and saying the money that you are quoting in Parliament that are not true. But the fact CETA is saying, you still say, no, CETA, lead me. And you want me to believe that you solve the problem. When I'm telling you that CETA doesn't have the capacity to even tell us how much money they've spent over this whole period. And we've been asking them, you see that there, we've been asking for the whole time, they can't. This information is provided in this contract. You want us to have confidence in CETA, even when CETA is a security risk and corrupt.
Yeah, check. Firstly, let me indicate to the committee that there's been an intervention by DG Nguna. I had a meeting at DG to DG level, and then he's the one who's overseeing CETA. One of the discussions was the reconfiguration of CETA to suit, that is the policy that is needed. And two, the FEDA is making arrangement for me and him to meet with the CETA board. Okay, so we will be meeting. But my third part, I also started a process of engagement with Treasury so that Treasury comes in and they also then assist us. Thank you.
We need to know how much money is being spent in this whole exercise. We don't have the figures. And we want the figures because this is a taxpayer's money. And we need to start accounting the scope of how much money are we spending on this particular process. That's where we are. Sir. Now, meeting DG or not meeting DG, or not even seeing him, I'm interested to know. She's realizing in the money about the other. Who's going to tell us the level of corruption around the finances in this particular exercise? We have given you enough time now. You see, in the multidisciplinary team that you have put together, you have not told us that there's a finance person who is looking at the money. Where would that come from? For CETA, from where I'm sitting, I'm not confident they will be able to solve the problem. It's a structure that I'm going to peddle. And I'm going to peddle to the children. Not to him, but to others.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Firstly, in the multidisciplinary team, our CFO is at the center and is actually the one who's working on the money question. But further to that, the forensic investigation audit is also looking at the money calculations in terms of, so we will provide that report as part of the progress report that we'll be giving to the committee. Thank you.
Just a closing remark, Chairperson. Thank you. The advisory role of CETA is, and I can sense it from my colleagues as well, is very problematic. And I think you've made the acknowledgement that to a certain extent that you failed in this regard with regards to the contracts that we're currently discussing. But I think there's also a political responsibility, Chairperson. The Minister of Public Service and Administration, that is the entity that you report to. Is it correct? You report to whom?
Minister of Telecoms and Business Services.
Yes, Chairperson, we need to engage with the minister, the relevant minister in this regard. There's certainly a political responsibility because we don't only find it in the Department of Police. We find it everywhere. We found it in correctional services. We've dealt with it. And there's also responsibility in Treasury and how we coordinate and where these contracts fall apart, where it's not proper processes in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. And really, Chairperson, I would like to make a recommendation that we engage with the minister and with the CEO and that we sort this thing out once and for all.
Thank you very much. Comrades, I think we should bring this engagement to a close. I would like to thank comrades for the engagement and the preparation for this engagement. But also to say that this state engagement, clearly there is dialectical movement, we can see some steps in the right direction. We didn't want to go, but I remember after November we had an engagement with my colleague Woody, and we were very clear and adamant that these corrupt elements within subs and sisters are going to be weeded out. There's no way that they were going to win, because our previous experience with other entities where you find cabals and people resisting and people, you know, laying false flags and all that kind of stuff. We're not there yet, but the wheels are moving, and we can only generate momentum as we move on. So it must be clear that those elements are going to be this FDA contract is just, but for me, an entry point, because I don't think that if you say something is wrong, then it's just FDA. Sign hundreds and hundreds of contracts. If you look at the agent's report on conflict of interest, the police are top. The SAPS is top in terms of value, in terms of number of people who are involved. So for us, this is just at the beginning of the process. As we said, if Parliament is going to at the center of the fight against corruption, and we need the police to assist us. But if the police are themselves corrupt, then we have no chance of achieving anything unless we start by clearing the police so that they can become partners with us in the fight against corruption. I do appreciate CEO Sita, the fact that you are actually also a similar exercise of weeding out elements within the city. And I think all you can get is support from this committee to continue and not take a step back in that process until it's clear that all those who are involved, we need individuals in this committee to know who signed what and who got what. And then you can report them to a competent SAPS, you know, to investigate, charge them, and hand them over to the NPA. And also impeach. I think the reason we brought them in November and subsequently called them here was to bring them in from the cold. So, you know, they're not workers in the security cluster. They have a full share in the brotherhood and of that cluster. I would imagine that the turning of the wheels is not going to be spontaneous in terms of, you know, practicalizing the actual process of people getting used to the fact that this is how things must be done. But you must keep on pushing until it reaches the correct level Commissioner, I don't want to say you have the confidence of the committee. It might be a bit too early, but we do want to encourage you to go on. Of course, with caution, because all your colleagues since George Fiver have not completed the attempt. And when we look back, we can see that there were landmines that were laid around. And the moment they start to not throw the line, that detonated and they all fall by the wayside, and corruption remains. So we have an interest in you being a successful commissioner, with the hope that if you stay here for the next 2, 3, 4 years, we should have a staff that is the pride of Parliament and also of the nation. So you need to keep on keeping on, and all these gentlemen and ladies who are here, you fellow colleagues, those who are right, you need to unite with them and fight against those who are wrong. Those who are corrupt, they must be weeded out without any ceremony or hesitation. certainly don't belong here. They probably belong to the Now, to make sure that we consolidate the momentum, the timeline that we've agreed upon is that by end of this month, they are going to get reports. One that before you all research, we should have another indication. Tell us how far and where are you. So we can further isolate specific elements and areas that are not followed up until everything is rounded up. But in the meantime, we will still have an interest in broader investigations beyond FDA, so that we can then be able to identify, pick up other areas that we want to continue following up until the Peter, you're very smart. We don't want a never-ending investigation. When are they concluding that investigation?
So Karim left in about 2 months.
2 months, right? So let's write down. 2 months, so it means by end of June, we should have a report from Karim, so that we can engage on that report and say, this is what the report says, and this is what we as a committee are picking up, and we want to get follow-ups on those matters. So I think we can leave it at that, Congress, and say we shall meet again. Then, Congress, we may have a meeting tomorrow morning with the Portfolio Committee on Health and Sanitation, so that we tie down the issues around focus, tempo preference, date, and all the leading to for our engagement on water and sanitation. But it will be confirmed. Right, thank you very much.